section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
What's going on with Daniel Bryan? The Slammiversary card is set, and we talk cruiserweights. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So on Sunday, Kurt Angle is going to announce the third member into the TNA Hall of Fame. And that man is going to be who, Aaron?
You know, if you had asked me last year, I would have said AJ Styles. I don't know. Maybe Jeff Jarrett?
I'm going to tell you who it is right now.
Oh, you have insight into this.
I already know this. Dixie Carter.
Really?
Seriously, think of it this way. They induct Dixie. It makes all the fans mad. And yeah, and she gets put into the Hall of Fame right before they fold.
So let me ask you this. You have Kurt Angle and you have Sting. Two of the best performers, best people, like all around, two of the best performers in wrestling. And you're telling me that the third member is going to be him, is going to be her?
Unfortunately, yes. The realistic person who should be it is AJ Styles. But if I'm correct, he's wrestling next Sunday for the Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. The week after, you mean?
Yeah, the week after.
You know, AJ Styles would make the most sense, but they won't do that. You know, you have Jeff Jarrett, but, you know, I don't know what the bad blood is like there. So I'm not sure what you do. And is it based off your wrestling history or is it based off your TNA history? Because that's a very important distinction. If they go based on just wrestling history, they could reach out to Ric Flair. You know, I mean, he may be available. I mean, he may want, you know, a couple extra bucks. You could go to Hulk Hogan if you wanted to. You know, I mean, there's a few other people that you could go for. If you're doing it based on only TNA, though, realistically, you got Samoa Joe, Robert Roode, AJ Styles, Jeff Jarrett.
I don't agree with Samoa Joe or Bobby Roode yet.
But I'm saying like what they've done in TNA, those are two people who have accomplished quite a bit in TNA. And so that's why I'm saying those are two people that I could see being put there. But in all honesty, AJ Styles is the third one that should go in. And after that, Jeff Jarrett, maybe, you know, I mean, you don't have enough people there and you haven't been around long enough to have that big of a Hall of Fame. So,
yeah, but I believe that they're going to do something weird. And that's why I'm saying Dixie Carter, even though the real person who should be inducted is AJ Styles. But you could also say Bad Influence as well. Either one of the, you know, Christopher Daniels.
What? No, I disagree with that.
Christopher Daniels, I would say, but I think there might be some bad blood since they're no longer there.
Yeah, because Samoa Joe hasn't done more than Christopher Daniels, right?
He hasn't been there since day one, though.
And Samoa Joe's been there for a long time.
He's been there for a long time.
Held TNA titles, NWA titles. I mean, he's held it all.
And they haven't done anything with him, though.
So, but he's done more than Christopher Daniels.
Okay, well, I guess in that, when you throw that in there, okay, yeah, you're right.
WWE programming this week, Andy. Daniel Bryan, he was stripped of the WWE title. What'd you think of the segment, and what do you think of him being stripped?
Well, I feel bad for him, and I also feel bad for the WWE because they put all this faith in him, and then all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to get the simple procedure done that I saw a stat. I thought it was 90%, but I think it's like 80-some percent of people that get this surgery done. They are fine pretty much within, well, 3 weeks afterwards, they're feeling really great. But the problem is that the surgery didn't take for him for some reason. It hasn't helped out. So the only thing he can do right now is really rest. Because if it gets worse, then you have to get the spinal fusion, which, you know, Shane Helms had done. Gosh, there's so many.
Steve Austin did.
Not, I was going to say Rock, but it's not him. But yeah, there's a lot of guys who had that done, but I'm wondering how Daniel Bryan's going to be when he actually does come back. And that's what I'm worried about because his style is so unique that he needs a decent neck. And, you know, but the thing is, every good performer can adjust to bad things that have happened to him.
Yeah. And, you know, he has very high impact offense and just little things like him running to the corner from post to post doing the running kick, you know, his running drop kick, and just little things like that. You know, I mean, you're putting some, you know, some whiplash on yourself. You know, your neck is going to be falling down, hitting in the mat. You know, obviously the flying headbutt, you know, little things like that. He's going to have to tone it down a lot, and he's going to have to put in some new moves into his repertoire. I mean, it's going to be a different Daniel Bryan, unfortunately. It is sad that he has had to be stripped of the title, but it's something that they had to do, in my opinion. I think that you had to strip him of the title, because you know what? If you didn't, then what's your focus? You know, it was Evolution and Shield, which obviously they, you know, that went south pretty quick. And so now it's like, well, now the focus is actually going to be back on the title. And I think that's where it should be. I think that's very important. And I think stripping him, I think maybe next week might have been better. I think if they would have built it up a little bit more, it might have been, you know, more interesting for them to do, because if they did it next week, then you have a 2 week long buildup to the actual match itself. And I think having that shorter time frame actually might have been better for them. Normally I'm preaching about longer ones, but I think a shorter time frame might have been better in that instance. And it gives Daniel Bryan a few extra days, because right now he's sitting at like 3 title reigns, a total of like 40 days, you know, something like ridiculous like that. It's stupid, but anyway, I'm rambling here. So
not really, but I do agree with what you're saying. It just, unfortunately he only had the one title defense too against Kane.
Oh yeah, that's true. One title defense.
So, and honestly, dude, I believe that he would have the pay-per-view until Survivor Series. He wouldn't have the pay-per-view. He would have had the belt until Survivor Series. And it's just a sad day, unfortunately. The only thing that I don't like is the fact that when they take and make that into a Money in the Bank match, I don't agree with that. I think that they should have some type of tournament. And they could have led up to that where you had to wrestle at least 2 times, where like you had the semifinals, and those guys would then wrestle at, you know, the start of the pay-per-view, and then at the end of the pay-per-view they would wrestle as well.
Well, so you would want just a traditional one-on-one match then for the title, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, or even a 4-way, I'm fine with that as well. I just wish that they would have actually been wrestling matches for this, not like, okay, whoever can get the belt, you know, gets it. And the other thing is they're going to have to add a second Money in the Bank, you know, briefcase match.
I don't think they're going
to. But to me, you'd almost have to. Because if it's Money in the Bank, they said you can cash it in at any time. Well, you're not really doing that now. And they haven't clarified that. And I think they're doing that on purpose, though. I believe that they did it just to kind of give the drama to it. Where they can actually,
I don't think that they're gonna. I think that this is it, because that was the original plan, was they were gonna have Money in the Bank ladder match, you know, where you'd get the briefcase. That was the original plan, and then Daniel Bryan would face, you know, somebody random. But I think that's what they're gonna do, is that they're gonna win the titles. I do like your idea. I do want to kind of piggyback off that real quick, because I think if you would have had a fatal 4-way match for the title. And I'm not saying, like, you know, don't do a traditional one-on-one, because the problem with the Orton-Cena match back in December was, I think that everybody pretty much was like, yeah, Orton's obviously going to win this. You know, everybody was saying that Orton's going to win it, and he did. And I don't want to have that situation. I don't want to have a, you know, situation where you look at that and you go, all right, there's somebody who's obviously heavily favored, or, you know, like, it's just going to be a traditional match that we've seen over and over again. I don't know, Fatal 4-Way actually makes it a little more interesting, has a little more drama to it, gives the option of having somebody win it that you're not expecting. And that's what the, you know, the 7-man Money in the Bank ladder match does, is, you know, anybody could win it. And there's quite a few entrants already. We have 2 more that we're waiting on. So, you know, who knows? But that being said, either way, it's set in stone now. We do have the Money in the Bank match set for the gold. Currently, we have Cesaro, Sheamus, Orton, Bray Wyatt, and Alberto Del Rio in, and there are 2 more that can be put in. I got to ask you, first of all, who would you add of those 2?
Well, John Cena is going to get added because of the Bray Wyatt thing. I wouldn't be surprised.
One more.
I wouldn't be surprised if they put Jack Swagger in. I don't know why.
He's feuding with Adam Rose. I mean, or now he's Santino, you know, like, really? You're going to, you look at that cast of characters and you're going to say Swagger?
Jake the Snake.
So who would you actually put in?
I believe Dolph Ziggler, but he already wrestled a match and he lost.
Yeah.
So where do you go? You can almost say Roman Reigns, throw him in there, but then I think that messes up a potential feud with Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, this is a toughie.
Here's what I think's going to happen. I think it is going to be Roman Reigns. I think that they're going to throw him in there. I don't think he's going to win it, because I think if you gave him the belt, oh my God, after the promo he was trying to cut on Monday, no, you don't give him the belt. He's not ready for it. But I obviously Cena's going to be in there, and I think that'll be Roman Reigns. And I think then you're going to have Seth Rollins take on Dean Ambrose at the pay-per-view. I think that's going to be a match. Now, out of the seven, though, that was listed, I got to ask you, who has the best chance of winning?
The safe bet is to put the belt on John Cena. The safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
If you want the belt back on Daniel Bryan as soon as possible, which I don't believe they're going to do, you would give it to Randy Orton. Cesaro should win it, but Randy Orton's going to be the one who ends up winning it, which is the sad part.
I don't think that Cesaro should win it. I think that he would be a great champion, but I don't think he's right. I honestly don't think that he is yet. I think that he could do it, but I think if you put it on him too soon, you could miss him. And I'm using that as a verb, okay? You could miss him, and you don't want to do that, because Miz had that title. He had no business having that title, and he will never have that title again. And I don't think you should do that. I do agree. I think that Orton's probably the safest bet, and I think that he's probably going to be the one that's going to win it.
But here's the thing. They're going to have to add a second ladder in the bank, or Money in the Bank ladder match.
Why?
You almost have to. You can't just have that for the belt.
For one title.
You say that you can cash it in. They should make a rule that you can cash it in at any time except tonight. Then that throws a swerve in something.
So you're going to have two Money in the Bank ladder matches then?
Well, you have one. You have one for the belt, and then you have the traditional Money in the Bank ladder match.
It's basically what they're doing, though. I mean, because if Daniel Bryan was not injured, this is going to be the match that they would have for the briefcase. That's what they would be doing. I think that if you have a second one, I actually think that it kind of devalues it. I've been saying that for, we've been doing the show for 4 years. I've been saying it for 4 years. Having the Money in the Bank ladder matches are great, but when you have two of them every single night, it's stupid. And I think that having two of them would actually devalue the match itself. So I disagree with you.
I'll never agree on that. So what if you had to put a couple matches together in this pay-per-view? I think that you're going to have Paige Russell. I believe that Bad News Barrett, he's going to wrestle someone. And I would like to see Big E wrestle as well, but... and then you're going to have Adam Rose probably do the pre-show. And then the Usos as well, they'll wrestle. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, you have, I think that they're kind of in an interesting period right now, because it's going to be a lot of rematches probably, because they haven't been building these new feuds. We've had Barrett going up against RVD and Sheamus, who he's been going up against for the past 2 months now. And he can't do it against Sheamus, so more than likely he might go up against RVD maybe, for the pay-per-view. They need to start building a, program around him, so he needs to start getting into feuds with other people. And then you have the Usos, who they need to get into matches with other tag – or you need to have other tag teams for them to get into matches with. I think the safest bets, you have the actual ladder match itself, which will probably be a good 30 minutes plus. You're going to have Seth Rollins taking on Dean Ambrose. They're not going to waste Triple H and Roman Reigns on this pay-per-view. That's probably going to be a SummerSlam would be my guess. So I don't see Triple H in action here. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be really tough, because you have a lot of the biggest stars right now in the actual Money in the Bank ladder match.
Just thinking about something. Ring of Honor is putting out a pay-per-view in 2 weeks. Are you a little bit excited?
A little, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think that this is a pay-per-view that you would buy opposed to TNA's Slammiversary?
In a heartbeat. If I had $40 I could spend on anything, probably stack rank, I would probably go Money in the Bank because of the actual name of the pay-per-view itself. I would go Money in the Bank, Ring of Honor, TNA. Now, if it like last pay-per-view payback, it would go probably Ring of Honor, Slammiversary payback would be my guess.
Do you think that we will end up becoming spoiled because of the WWE Network?
I think we're spoiled already.
Well, because here's the other thing, because I think it hurts wrestler like certain wrestlers with their like their kickbacks. Like Joey Styles said, he's not got a single penny from the WWE Network yet, and he pretty much, from what I got out of it, he doesn't expect to.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be different because at least with the pay-per-view buys, you had a solid number of people who actually paid to see the pay-per-view. And, you know, you look at a WrestleMania 3 where it's Hogan and Andre. Hogan and Andre got a large payout. And then you had people like Savage and Steamboat get a little bit lesser one. And you know, the other people as well that were on the card. But Hogan and Andre got a huge, huge payout for that pay-per-view. And they got it from the ticket sales, all 90,000 people. And then, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people that bought the pay-per-view. So they got a cut of that. And now you look at the pay-per-view. Yeah, you know, you may have the network, but you may not be able to see the pay-per-view for free, or you might not be able to see the pay-per-view on time. You may not have bought it for that pay-per-view. You know, you may not care. So I think that it's going to be, you know, different for a lot of the wrestlers and you know, how they get their cut.
And that's the sad part. By the way, I want to just real quick, Legends House. Do you watch it at all?
Oh, my God. No. You ask me this.
I know. I ask you every week. But I like the fact that they're finally going to publicly announce that, or Pat Patterson will, that he's gay. And they've hinted towards it. And then this last promo I saw it. I was just like, are you kidding me about that? But that's what it's leading up to.
Everybody in wrestling knows that he is.
But the thing is, they also said in promos that I have seen besides this last one, they kept on saying the series finale. And now they're just saying the season finale, which I thought was interesting. Something different. But it's one of those shows I do enjoy watching. But anyways, let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. Let's continue to talk some Slammiversary. When is Jeff Hardy just going to drop the Willow gimmick?
Well, the Willow gimmick is different, and I'm sure that he just wanted to do something slightly insane, you know? So, you know, he's going with the Willow gimmick, which is tying into Magnus and Bram's little storyline where Bram has come in and wants Magnus to get back to his older ways, you know. And it's like, well, he's actually pretty young. So, I mean, are you talking about like 10 years ago? Was he like, you know, a complete, you know, jerk or something? Is that what you're trying to get at? So, but anyway, they announced that for Slammiversary, we have Willow and Abyss taking on Magnus and Bram. The problem I have with this is that both of these guys have taken on Willow individually, lost. They've taken him on together, lost. And so now you're going to put Willow with the reigning TV champion Abyss, and you're expecting them to put on a good fight?
Yeah.
I'm expecting Magnus and Bram to win because they've been losing so much. But if you're thinking about this, you're looking at the book and you're going, well, this doesn't make any sense because all they've been doing is losing. So how are they going to win?
Exactly. And that's why this match to me doesn't make sense. And I don't even know why they're having it. I really don't.
What'd you think of, was it Meltzer, right? Who, said that TNA was, it was hard to watch now.
No, Brian Alvarez from F4W, weekly or online.com. He actually said that he's sick and tired of like people like Vince Russo put out excuses. And yeah, he had some valid points that I do agree with, but overall Alvarez, basically everything Russo said, saying, oh, it's so hard when you get to Universal and all this stuff. And, you know, people are on vacation. I'm sorry, but how many times have people gone on vacation and gone to a sporting event? That happens quite often. If you're at a theme park and they're like, hey, free wrestling show. Oh, really? Well, hey, all right, I'm going to go. Well, you know what? Hey, let's go get a hot dog. Let's go get some popcorn. Let's get a pop. Let's get a water or whatever. Okay, so you do that and they make money off you and you get to see wrestling as well. How many people actually will go to the shows that don't go to the theme park? When we went, there wasn't a lot. I would say maybe behind us as well, maybe 10 people in total. That was it. So I believe some of the Russo's points, and then Alvarez just ripped them apart. I believe that Alvarez had some good ideas, but overall. But,
so he said, though, like last week's impact was it made him want to give up on TNA pretty much. He said that it was the worst they've seen. It was not the worst, trust me, because we have talked about the worst episodes that they've put out. It was not good, though. I mean, it wasn't, you know, and especially the storyline that they've been having for the last 6 weeks or so. It's not compelling. It's not interesting. It's not good. So I do agree with them there. TNA has nowhere to go but up, right?
I guess that's one way of putting it. Once you're this far down, you have to go back up. There's so many things that, like, here's the other thing also that I believe Russo made a point about. If you are such a good booker yourself and you could fix TNA, you should be working for TNA. Okay. I believe that some people, there's a lot of columnists out there who will say that this show's horrible. Well, then fix it. You know, give them a couple ideas. Say, I know a long-term way to fix this. There have been some. But talking segments, 8 of them on this last Thursday show. Yeah. And the fact that on those 8, 5 of them featured MVP. Seriously.
Well, and that was the problem, you know, and we had talked about it when Hogan was there, and he had like 3 segments in a night, and all 3 actually had his entrance in there too. So you're taking up like probably a good 30 to 45 minutes of your show is Hulk Hogan. And it's like, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. Same thing here. I mean, the principle remains the same. If you overshow a character, people will get sick of them. An MVP as a villain, that's fine. You don't have to have a show him every 2 seconds, though. Okay. You don't have to go and be like, hey guys, remember you hate him. You hate him. You don't like him. Instead, how about you say, okay, he's going to do something, you know, that's a little bit evil. Now let's go into a different storyline. Let's talk about something else. He doesn't have to be a part of every single little thing. So anyway, let's get back on track, though, Andy. Bully Ray is taking on Ethan Carter III at pay-per-view in a Texas death match. Some we don't see very often. What do you think?
Define it.
Well, do you not know what a Texas death match is?
I have no idea.
So you're familiar with Last Man Standing, though, right?
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
So Texas Deathmatch is same thing, except they you have to pin the guy for it to start.
What?
So in a Last Man Standing match, you when they go down, then they start the count. They count to 10, right?
Uh-huh.
So with the Texas Death Match, what you do is you have to pin him for the 10 count to start.
Oh, I see. Okay. So basically he's down for a 10 count, but you have to pin him. Do you have to hook the leg?
Oh, that's the only way you'll be able to get a real pin is if you hook the leg.
You got to get the leverage, right?
Yeah. So but that's what you have to do. So basically what we'll see here is you're not going to see too many pins because obviously, it's going to be instead. I guess. OK, so here's what I will say about Texas Deathmatch. The reason why it's a little bit better than a Last Man Standing match. The problem with the Last Man Standing match is the referee starts counting every single time. And it's like, oh, God. With this, there's a little bit more drama involved because you have to pin them. Once they're pinned, that's when the counting starts. So you're not going to see like 10 counts that night. You're probably going to see like 3 maybe, you know, and that's it. You're going to have the good guy like barely make it up at 9 and the bad guy barely makes up at 9. And then finally the next one will finally do it. So either way, though, I'm actually a little excited for this match. I've been wanting to see these two get it on for a little while now. And so I'm pretty excited for it. Andy, EY takes on MVP again for the second time. He's going to take him on again at the pay-per-view. Maybe. EY MVP, does this get you a little bit more excited for it?
Could care less right now. In all seriousness, I think this is horrible, horrible booking. If you wrestle, basically you're like, hey, they're going to wrestle at the pay-per-view, but let's have something going on right now. you know, on free TV. Okay, are they gonna put on a great match? Well, not really. So what's the point of this match then?
Well, they're gonna put on a great match at pay-per-view.
You have maybe to want people to spend the $50 to watch this. That's the thing. If I saw it on free TV, if I can go through and basically make my own, but basically splice the last 10 TNA or the last 10 Impact shows together to make this pay-per-view, I could do it. The only thing that you're getting now is that, hey, they're going to announce who's going to be the third inductee into the Hall of Fame. I could care less. I'll just hop on Twitter and see it there.
Who's going to buy the pay-per-view? Let me ask you that. Like, who's this pay-per-view for?
I'm just hoping that Dave buys it, then I go to his house and watch it there.
No, seriously, who is the pay-per-view for? Let's talk about that.
There is no reason to have this pay-per-view, Aaron. There is absolutely no reason. This actually makes me kind of sick, because there's performers there that are great. Believe me, I think that there's probably only a couple people I can knock. I like EY. I was gonna say AJ Styles, but he's not there. I like Magnus. I like Samoa Joe a lot. I think Kurt Angle is awesome. EC3 I didn't like, and now he's grown on me a little bit. I just see stuff like that, and you're like, okay, well, what's the problem here? Because there are talented guys there. Where's it boil down to? If you have talent, it's the creative. That's the problem. Matches are decent, but I don't want to see, 8 or 10 talking segments in a show right before your pay-per-view. I want to see the build-up and the drama to it. It's almost like they don't know what they're doing. It's like, hey, let's just throw this on the wall. Okay, we'll just do this, 5 minutes before the show starts.
I'm going to say something that might be a little controversial. I actually prefer TNA's wrestling to probably most WWE pay-per-views wrestling. That's where the good stuff happens, isn't on the pay-per-views, right? And I think that on Impact, that TNA does a better job than the vast majority of WWE's pay-per-views. The majority.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Wrestling wise, the entertainment of the matches where you don't want to fast forward. Okay. Yes, I agree with that. But they also have cruiserweights X Division guys that can wrestle, and they put on decent matches and sometimes great matches. But then when it comes to the pay-per-view, it's almost like it's lackluster. You're like, okay, that's what's going on. Big deal.
They don't have enough on there. That's the problem. They have an X Division that they don't feature that should be the centerpiece of the show. It should be the first hour. An hour should be dedicated to the X Division, hour dedicated to the rest of the stuff. But Andy, you brought up something interesting. We had talked about doing this for a weekly topic, which I think we should, which is a cruiserweight division. So we're actually going to shift gears back to WWE real quick. And we're going to construct a WWE cruiserweight division. So this is something that would probably be featured maybe, a segment on Raw and probably something that would be featured on SmackDown. So I got to ask you a couple people that you would build a WWE cruiserweight division around.
Well, there's one guy in NXT. You saw him on Takedown. Kalisto, he does this gimmick where he'd say lucha, lucha. And he'd do his the Fandango ones or whatever, if you want to say that. Mm-hmm. I would build it him and Evan Bourne, because they can, they're true cruiserweights. You have someone like Tyson Kidd, who he's a hybrid. I believe that the WWE style made him that way. But if they said, hey, we want you to do some lucha stuff, I guarantee you it'd probably take him a couple months, but then he'd be back in the swing of that stuff. I don't want to say Rey, because Rey Mysterio is basically done as a wrestler, I believe. Mm-hmm. But you have someone like Justin Gabriel and Kofi Kingston. Oh, my gosh. Right there.
So Kofi, he's a guy who's almost like a hybrid as well. Yes. Think about Chris Jericho back in WCW. He was the Cruiserweight champion for a long time, and then he dropped the title, and then he went on to be the TV champion. And then he went to WWE and, he won, the WWE title there. For Kofi, he's kind of, I would say, similar build. So he could be a cruiserweight guy. Would you see him more in the cruiserweight camp, or would you see him more on a U.S. title type?
I would love to see Kofi Kingston as a U.S. champ. But I believe that right now WWE wants big guys. and you could have Kofi do cruiserweight stuff, and I believe that, like, in a cruiserweight division, and I believe that he would shine, and I think that people would enjoy it more, because I think Kofi Kingston's very underrated, and I don't believe they're using him properly. But I would love to see him, like Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne tag team again, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, creative has nothing for him, though, remember?
Yes, creative has nothing for him. Justin Gabriel, I think, is underutilized. He was, you know, he wrestled, Pac. What's his name now? Adrian Neville. He wrestled him recently, and they put on a really good match, and it became more cruiserweight, but it's still a hybrid where it's like big guy wrestling and also cruiserweight wrestling.
You brought up quite a few people, which I agree. I think that a lot of those people are would be really great to build a cruiserweight division around. In your opinion, would you get rid of a title then and create a cruiserweight title?
Good question. Here's the thing. Back in the day, the WWF had a ton of titles. It felt like there's a lot of titles. And it was almost like if you were the IC champ or the heavyweight champion, you were like, if you wrestled at if you wrestled on a TV taping, it was a big deal. Like, they made a big deal about this is what this guy is. And then they have like two tag team belts, which whatever. I believe that you could throw in one more title and not eliminate one yet. I believe that you can bring in a cruiserweight title and make it like a hybrid where it's both on NXT and on, we'll say SmackDown. You can have it just on those two shows. That way you give people something different.
Well, they use NXT, though. NXT, they try to make it very not WWE. Like, they try, they don't, it's not SmackDown, it's not Raw. You don't see those people wrestling on the pay-per-views. You don't see them showing up on the other shows either, typically. You see them only on NXT. So would you have it in NXT or would you have it on SmackDown?
If I had to put it on one of them, I would actually have to put on SmackDown. Reason being is if some guy blows a spot, they can redo that spot in editing so you don't realize it, so TV looks different. NXT, I believe, has the perfect amount of belts for what they do. It's an hour-long show once a week. They have your tag champions, you have your women's champion, and then you have your main champion. That's fine. I think I'm beating this into the ground, but the TV title, I wish they would have a TV title, and whoever had it would defend it on every TV show.
Well, do TV title or cruiserweight? You gotta do one.
Well, if I had to do one, I would actually do TV title, but then you just feature cruiserweights on it. But you don't call it a cruiserweight, because if you call it a TV title, it can go to each TV show. Because Adrian Neville, the only time I've seen him actually wear the NXT belt was when he did a dark match with Sami Zayn. He actually came out with a belt when they're in England, which I was shocked about that. But whenever the few times you've seen him, actually, I don't think you've actually seen him on WWE TV besides NXT. So I guess
no.
But like with Big E, when he was the NXT champion, he would show up, you know, at on Raw, and he would have the belt. But then he'd go to NXT and have the belt on, and they never referred to him as the NXT champion.
Yeah, I think that was a kind of a mistake personally. But so to talk about the cruiserweight division, I think that if you had this and you really focused on it on SmackDown, you know, you it's not a brand split type thing, but SmackDown is definitely a focus point of it. And I think that you have enough people who are not being used or being underutilized or being put in squash matches. I think, you know, like Zack Ryder, for example, who could go for the cruiserweight title. And this is a title that you can throw around. You don't have to have super long title defenses. This is something that can be, you know, really switched around every single month. And sometimes even, you know, you could do it every 2 weeks if you really wanted to. Not suggesting that, but you could. And you could have Zack Ryder win that title, and then you could have him defend it and lose it to somebody like Justin Gabriel or Fandango. You know, these are people that could be utilized in a different way, and would help build up the brand and actually help build up a little more recognition. Because guess what? If you really want Fandango to be a thing, and this is somebody who, you know, you were pushing last year to be this big star who was going to be your IC champion until he got injured, and you want to make him featured again, give him a title. Give him a cruiserweight title, a title that isn't as big or as important. some that's used for the smaller guys to help them get a little bit more over. And this is some that could get him over. You know, if you're I think actually even another one, Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is not a small guy by any means, but if you really want him to get over a little bit more, he's somebody that you could, you know, give that title to. But so
with Dolph Ziggler, though, he was a hybrid for the longest time. And now I believe that he's just a small, big guy, if that makes sense. You know, you have your big guy wrestlers that wrestle one style, and Dolph Ziggler used to do both. And then it's almost like he may do one spot in the match and that's it. It's like Chris Jericho would do at least two or three spots.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. What I was trying to get at with that, though, is that this is an opportunity for you to showcase a wrestler. And if they're not going to do anything with Ziggler, if they're going to just have him get squashed all the time, give him something, you know, like throw him a freaking bone, you know. Or if you want it to basically be kind of the jobber title, don't give it to him then. Instead, give it to somebody like Ryder, give it to Xavier Woods, give it to Fandango, you know, give it to those types of people if you want it to be that type of a title. It'll help utilize them. And, you know, I think back to WWF back in the day when they had the IC title, but they also had the European title and the hardcore title. And the European title, while it was held by big names back, you know, like Shawn Michaels held it, Triple H, but then it, like, you know, definitely fell from grace and became a very low end title. It became the starter title that you won in order to get over, to get yourself recognized. That's what it was used for. You have a cruiserweight title come back, utilize it, and then that way you will have more recognition for these smaller guys.
All right. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank every listener for taking the time to download and listen to this show. And for Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.